Verse 22 reads, "Therefore say unto the house of Israel, thus saith the Lord God, I do not this for your sakes, O house of Israel, but for mine holy name's sake, which ye have profaned among the heathen whither ye went. And I will sanctify my great name, which was profaned among the heathen, which ye have profaned in the midst of them, and the heathen shall know that I am the Lord, saith the Lord God, when I shall be sanctified in you before their eyes. For I will take you from among the heathen, and gather you out of all countries, and will bring you into your own land. Then will I sprinkle clean water upon you, and ye shall be clean from all your filthiness, and from all your idols will I cleanse you. A new heart also will I give you." Father, we plead today that the Lord Jesus Christ, the one who has bought for us our redemption, that we might be birthed, we might be born again, we might be regenerated by the power of the God who speaks, and things become. We thank you for having spoken so that we could receive a new birth. Lord, you're to be honored and glorified. Help us and bless us as a church family here today. Bless the reading of your word. Bless this message. And we pray, O God, today, as my brothers already prayed, somewhere in our land today, somewhere in this world, where you had ordained that the gospel should be preached in Jerusalem and Judea and Samaria, and now unto the uttermost part of the earth, maybe today, one of our missionaries, maybe in Nepal, someone will have heard the gospel today. Someone there in Brazil, in Peru. Someone here in our own land. And by the efforts of our missionaries, and then maybe in some church we have no connection with whatsoever, somewhere today, some lost sinner is the final of the church of the Lord Jesus that would be birthed. Maybe today is the day that there is a shout and a trumpet and a call. Lord, we want to thank you for the promise that you are coming for your church. So bless today to the saving of souls, and bless your word to our hearts. We ask these mercies in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. As we have heard the messages of Ezekiel through those early years of Judah's captivity, the inherent condition of their hearts have been on full display. The ugliness of sin is no less manifested in our own time. Idolatry and every perversion, murder and hatred, lies and deception. In fact, Paul would write a rather lengthy list, wouldn't he, of what could be anticipated in the last days. He would say of those last days, and I'll simply read to you from 2 Timothy, that awful list. This, know also that in the last days perilous times shall come. For men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof. From such, turn away. What a list of the sinful climate of our day. But God. As we read there out of Psalm 51 as we opened our time of worship this morning, David's cry is, "Have mercy upon me, O God, according to thy loving kindness, according to the multitude of thy tender mercies, blot out my transgressions." The words of promise have risen again to the awful souls. And so the scripture says here that as we have read this morning, God is going to sprinkle clean water. You remember how that David said, "Wash me with hyssop." What was he talking about? He was talking about the ashes of the red heifer and how that ceremonially those ashes, they use the hyssop as a sponge dipped into that water made clean by the ashes of the red heifer and that were sprinkled on the individual so that his sins could be cleansed. And ceremonially, he could once again come into the congregation of God's people. So when he said, "Wash me with hyssop," that is the picture. It is the picture we have here in verse 25. "Then will I sprinkle clean water upon you." God announces to Judah, as he will also do the same, there in Jerusalem through the ministry of Jeremiah. Jeremiah will also talk about the heart that God would change. And in fact, in the weeks to come, as we begin to look at this simple phrase, we're going to see that God in this covenant gives to sinners a new heart. We'll find the language that it'll be a heart to know the Lord. Jeremiah will speak of one heart. It'll be a heart of flesh, as we see here in this passage. It'll be a heart to love the Lord, a heart to fear the Lord, a heart to obey the Lord. And it will be a heart that will give God's people an endurance to stand. All of this is promised and will someday be fulfilled to all of Israel, to all of Judah. But it has come to us today. Gentiles are given a new heart. Aren't you glad God's given you a new heart, a changed heart? All of these aspects of relationship with our Creator that made us initially are possible only because of the very first statement here, that he will give a new heart. And so it is this morning we want to examine this from which everything else flows. You cannot have a heart to know the Lord or one heart or a heart of flesh or a heart to love the Lord or a heart to fear God or a heart to obey God or a heart to endure unless first of all you have a new heart. And you remember long ago when you only lived with one heart, and that was a heart to disobey, and a heart to rebel, and a heart filled with pride and arrogance. But God has changed that heart, and he's humbled you. You know, God has ordained all the means of our conversion. We, in the Sunday School Hour, talked a little more here with Nick. And we know his testimony of how God used a science teacher, if I remember correctly, was it? Yeah, a science teacher in his high school that sought his soul, and God used that man's life and testimony. So God uses means, doesn't he? He has ordained the means by which God would save sinners. Doesn't the Bible talk to us about the foolishness of preaching? Oh, the world, these stupid preachers, foolish preachers. Why do you want to go and hear somebody preach? But God has ordained that, hasn't he? By the foolishness of preaching, I would not argue one moment with you that this thing of preaching is by all accounts, yes. Well, what a thing God uses, preaching. He raises up a fallen man. You know you're looking at a sinner. You know you're looking at someone who must come before God on a daily basis and ask God to forgive him. And God is going to use such an earthen vessel as this to be the means that God would open another fallen sinner's heart and save them? Yes. God has ordained the means by which he would save sinners. How then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach except they be sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things. How wonderful it is. I think back on the preaching that I heard as a little boy when I was still an absolute rebel in heart. And my mother had that radio going. And I could not escape the little words that I heard. Yeah, I wasn't sitting there with rapt attention listening, because all I cared about was the Washington Redskins football team at that point in time. And that's all I breathed. That's all I lived. As Sharon's dad lived for soccer, I lived for football. But my mom had that radio on. And there was the singing. And there was the preaching. My mother listened to old Carl McIntyre, a raspy old voice. Little bit by little bit, I was hearing. God had ordained the means by which I would have an encounter with him in time to come, when he would give to me a new heart. God has set apart Israel as well as his church in the language of these verses that we read, because God is going to save the sons and the daughters of a man he first created named Adam. And Adam sinned and threw all of our generations into the convulsions of our sinful lives. And the sadness and sorrow, heartache and misery that has come into families, into men's hearts, into women's hearts. As we read Sister Christy Brown, the young woman that came into to their ministry, single, pregnant, in prostitution and drugs. Oh, God delights in saving sinners, in giving sinners a new heart. Hallelujah for the cleansing work of the Lamb of God. If God's going to give us a new heart, as we see here in verse 25, then will I sprinkle clean water upon you. What did he say? He said to Israel, I'm going to sanctify you. I'm going to set you apart. Verse 23, when I shall be sanctified in you before their eyes. God was determined and will sanctify. He'll call out all of Israel someday. But today, he is calling out his church. He is assembling his church all around the globe. As you know, the word sanctified means, there's a causation in it. To make or to pronounce. It literally means to be. And so as we observe this, God says of Israel, there's coming a day when I'm going to say, to be. When I've called you out from all the lands, I'm going to sanctify you. I'm going to say, to be. And that is how God works in us. How is God going to give a sinner a new heart? Well, it's when God says, to be. It is a birth. It is a transformation. Israel in a coming day will hear the work of the Word of God, and they will be as they have never been before. And you can look over how God in a day made you to be. He set you apart. He announced there was a causation to make, to pronounce. And he cleansed you in that moment. And it was an appointment. And so the word can either speak to that of ceremonially or morally. When God says you are to be. Hold your place here and let's just take ourselves into the New Testament. And consider Ephesians chapter 1, these precious words to us. Precious news to the believers of that day whose lives and hearts had been transformed. Ephesians chapter 1 says in verse 3, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. According as he hath chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he hath made us accepted in the beloved. But here we find this little word that we should be. What a day when God said to your soul, you will be mine. Just as God will say to Israel in a coming day, you will be mine. I will give you a new heart. Turn back a couple of pages to the book of Galatians, where Paul recounts these amazing words of his own soul and how he saw God working in him. He says in verse 15, of Galatians chapter 1. But when it pleased God, May I say to you that when God awakened and saved your soul and said to you, be, it was a moment when God was pleased. But when it pleased God, who separated me from my mother's womb and called me by His grace. What wording is this for us? Paul can look back. Many there are of miscarriages and stillbirths. But Paul is saying, I was not a stillbirth. God ordained, it pleased God that I would not be a stillbirth. That's a hard thing for a woman and her husband, mother and father, to go through. What a language that Paul uses here. It pleased God that I was not stillborn. God brought me to birth because God had a divine and an eternal plan. When He separated me from my mother's womb and called me by His grace. Why would He do that? To reveal His Son in me, that I might preach Him among the heathen. Immediately I conferred not with flesh and blood. Paul steps back and views his life in the hand and the plan of a sovereign God, who purposed not only His earthly birth, but purposed the day of His new birth. And it was a thing that pleased God to do that. And you here that have been saved by God's grace, sinners as you were born, rebels as you were, it pleased God to give you a new heart. As we went through the letters to the church at Thessalonica, we saw in the second letter that Paul wrote in chapter 2, he said in the 13th verse, "But we are bound to give thanks always to God for you, brethren beloved of the Lord, because God hath from the beginning chosen you to salvation." Ah, here's our word. Through sanctification of the Spirit. When the Spirit of God spoke and said to you, to be. He said to you, be. I'll have you to be. Chosen you. To salvation through sanctification of the Spirit and belief of the truth. In that moment when God said to you, be. Birth. Be alive. God gave you a new heart. And in that moment, He made you to believe what previously you may have scoffed at, or were nonchalant and cared nothing about. But He said to you, be. Now read one more out of Peter's first letter when he writes and he says, Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ, to the strangers scattered throughout Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, and Bithynia, elect according to the foreknowledge of God the Father through sanctification of the Spirit. when the Spirit of the living God said to you, be. What is it that God gives? God gives a new heart. God gives a new heart. Has God given you a new heart? You remember the spies went into the land and they came back, most of them broken, saying there's nothing we can do. We're just little grasshoppers. They're going to eat us up. The Bible says, though, but my servant Caleb, because he had another spirit within him and hath followed me fully, him will I bring into the land where into he went. Caleb had another spirit, meaning he had another heart. He had something different that animated him. So I encourage you here today, if God's given you a new heart, he's given you something that's completely given you a new animation to your life. And he did this when he said to your soul, be. Oh, there are others in the Old Testament scripture that received a new heart, but it was not always as you are seeing here in Ezekiel, or as is described by the Lord Jesus there in the Gospel of John. King Saul was given a new heart, but that heart was only a heart so that he could govern the people. It was a new heart, something he had not before, that would give him the power to govern as a king. But God has made us something entirely different. God has given us a new heart. We have a new state of being. God has designed an entire new work for us. There is a completely new destiny for you and I who have been given a new heart. There is one reality of this new heart that God has given to us. God has given to our souls a new light. Do you not remember when the light of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ burst on your soul? That you were no longer interested in just being religious. You had to have Him. You wanted Him. And that's why the scripture says, but as many as received Him. How is it that you suddenly wanted this Jesus? That others have mocked and used his name to curse by, scoffed at his work, denied his person. Oh, God's put a new light in you, which is exactly what our Bible describes, doesn't it? I'm reading to you from the Gospel of John. You know these words. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. And you remember that. You remember both sides of that equation. You remember the day when none of that light meant anything to you. And then the day that it came, that it meant everything to you. And your heart was changed. And you were given a new heart. And so God put a new light into you. And that light reveals and that light expels and that light repels. But that light makes you to receive. And so the scripture says in verse 9, that was the true light which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. He was in the world and the world was made by him and the world knew him not. And you are on both sides of that equation. You were in the world, and you knew nothing of him. And he even came into his own, to the Jewish people, verse 11 of John chapter 1. He came into his own, and his own received him not, but as many as received him. So there's the human side of this, the glorious side, where God has given you a new heart. It's a heart now to receive him. But which came first, the chicken or the egg? How can you receive him unless there has been a heart change? So regeneration is a work that God does as the sinner hears the gospel. And regeneration takes place, and a new heart is given, and now faith reaches out to receive and believe what the heart could never have received or believed before. How wonderful to be given a new light. And so he says here, and the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory. The glory is only as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. And John would write in his first epistle, he would say to those believers, I want you to know this light that we've known. And so he writes those words to encourage those new believers. And how glorious is this language that John begins with. This then is the message which we have heard of him and declare unto you, that God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another. Now previously, what had he said? What had he said? Had he said to these believers? That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon and our hands have handled of the word of life, and the life was manifested and we have seen it. And bear witness and show unto you that eternal life, which was with the Father and was manifested unto us. That which we have seen and heard declare we unto you, that ye also may have fellowship with us. And truly our fellowship is with the Father and with the Son, his Son, Jesus Christ. You have a new heart? God's given to us a new heart. God's given us new light, a light we did not have before. It is a light that reveals. Well, it reveals our sin, doesn't it? And in a light then that expels that darkness. And our eyes are opened to see the gravity of our sin. Just as David's eye. Think about that. David had brought in Bathsheba. That child is conceived. In that period of those months, David arranges to have Bathsheba's husband murdered, Uriah. Takes her in as his wife. The child is born, but the child is destined for death. Because God raises up Nathan to come in and point his finger to say to David, thou art the man. And we read in that scripture this morning, how all of a sudden in all those months David went along, sin covered, sin hidden, sin concealed. But when the word of God came, David is smitten. The light of the gravity of that sin grips him. Against thee only have I sinned. And suddenly when you and I were lost, we saw it was my sin. I put him on the cross. My sins. My sins. Me. Oh, what light reveals my sin. But what light expels that darkness to make me to see it, accept it, acknowledge it, and causes to repel all that I have loved and lived for. It is that that heals me, delivers me. Let me read to you from that great psalm of the scriptures and speaks of the scriptures. I'm reading to you from Psalm 119. Listen to verse 130. The entrance of thy words giveth light. Psalm 119:30. The entrance of thy words giveth light. It giveth understanding unto the simple. That's me. Can you say hallelujah, Lord? That's me. I'm a simple one. I need thy word. We would even say that the word of God has caused us to see how simple and foolish I have been. The entrance of thy word giveth light. God puts a new light in us. And he puts a new law in us, doesn't he? Turn to John's Gospel, chapter 3. There's a new law that is enacted when God births us. John chapter 3, when the Lord Jesus is speaking of this new heart, this new birth. And he says in verse 3, these verses so familiar. Jesus answered and said unto him, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus saith unto him, how can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born? Jesus answered, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh. That which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I said unto thee, ye must be born again. The wind bloweth where it listeth, and thou hearest the sound thereof, but canst not tell whence it cometh and whither it goeth. So is every one that is born of the Spirit. Oh, what mystery there is when God begins to pursue the soul of a lost man, and the Spirit of God begins to pursue and hunt out that soul. Nicodemus answered and said unto him, how can these things be? What a question is that. The man who should have known, as Jesus says to him, art thou a master of Israel and knowest not these things? A new birth. God puts a new law in the heart. How wonderful for a new nature to be given. As Paul would write and would say, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Behold, all things are passed, old things are passed away, and all things are, behold, all things are become new. God puts a new law. He puts a love in our hearts for that that will please God and honor him. And God puts a new power. There's a new power in the heart and in the life. God has not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. So says the scripture, as Paul writes to Timothy in chapter 1 and verse 6. How glorious it is for God to give us a new heart. In him was life. In him was life. And that life was the light of men. We are people born of the Spirit. A new nature has come to our souls. We have a new light. We have a new law. We have a new power within us. The very life of the Lord Jesus is transferred into our own soul. You're in chapter 3 of, look at chapter 4 of the Gospel of John. I think we see in chapter 4 the first transfer of life. Jesus speaks to the woman at the well and says to her in verse 10, "If thou knewest the gift of God and who it is that saith unto thee, give me to drink, thou wouldest have asked of him, and he would have given thee living water." Of course, we know the conversation that goes on between the two. And Jesus, as it was, takes the hyssop and begins to wash this woman with the word. He washes her to expose her sin to her, because that's what this new heart does. He gives a new light, and that light reveals. And he says to her, "Well, I'll be glad to have this conversation with you when you go and get your husband." "Oh, I don't have one." "Right. You've had five, and the one you're with now is not your husband." Do you realize that in the conversion of this woman, it is the transfer of his life to her? You see a new heart placed within this woman. As God uncovers her sin, he reveals it to her. She can't escape the searching, the revealing work that now expels. Not only does it reveal her sin, it expels her sin. And she turns from it immediately. Why? Because God has washed her and given her a heart. And she runs back into the city and says, "Come see a man which told me all things that ever I did. Is not this the Christ?" Here is the first transfer of life as recorded in the ministry of our Lord Jesus. He said to her in verse 26, "I that speak unto thee am." And may I say, she became. She was set apart. To be was written on her soul in a moment. And so the same thing has occurred to you in the new birth. But Nicodemus said, "How can these things be?" And such were the objections throughout the course of the life of the Lord Jesus. As he worked, some were saying, "Well, who is this?" Some said, "You can't believe him." Some said, "He's deceiving the people." But I would ask here today, have you had the announcement of God to your soul to be that has changed your heart and given you a heart to know the Lord, a heart to love the Lord, a heart to obey the Lord, one heart? Oh, for all of these aspects. Come now as we close here back to our passage in Ezekiel. How wonderful to hear this promise of a coming day for national Israel, but a day that has already risen with the new birth for sinners. And God's word says, "Then will I sprinkle clean water upon you, and ye shall be clean." Who is it that puts into the human soul to desire to be clean? Have you had that recently rise up in your soul? Oh, that God would be clean before him. There would be nothing between us. Have you even asked? Have you kept a close account? Would it be today, as we often sing this song, revive us again. Fill each heart with thy love. May each soul be rekindled with life from above. God has given us a new heart. And then will I sprinkle clean water upon you, and ye shall be clean from all your filthiness. And from all your idols will I cleanse you. Here is the sovereign work of a gracious God who is full of loving kindness. And according to the multitude of his tender mercies, he has the power to blot out my transgressions. How our hearts long for our loved ones to be saved and to receive this new heart. Oh, that God would give them a new heart. Here's your testimony today. We will leave this place today, and we will move out into this world, and we'll be able to tell them that God has given me a new heart. And I can testify to that. I can tell you that God has put light in my soul. And it is a light that's revealed my old nature, but made me to see him who loved me and gave himself for me. Him who paid my debt on Calvary's cross. Him who rose victorious and represents me before the Father's throne. And there is now one mediator between God and men, the man, Christ Jesus. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. Wonderful redemption. Wonderful truth. That God would seal a covenant to give sinners a new heart. How right it is for us to remember the broken body and the blood shed by our Lord Jesus to cleanse us. How we ought to love him. Such love, his love, demands my soul, my life, my all. Heavenly Father, thank you for giving to me a new heart. Oh Lord, how I failed you, failed you, failed you. Help all of my brothers and sisters here today. God, would you send a reviving work in us? At every point of pollution, it's your desire that we be a clean people. And that we live in the power of a new heart. How I plead, revive us. And deliver us. And have mercy on the ones that we pray for. God, help us to live in such a way that our lost loved ones see a new heart, one they do not possess and cannot reform to get. Oh, let them see the power of a new heart, a heart filled with the love of God, fill us afresh and deliver us and help us to cry with David that at any point where we have not been obedient to you, that it has been against thee, thee only have I sinned and done this evil right in your sight, oh God. Oh, Lord Jesus, dear Holy Spirit, how we've grieved you. Help us, cleanse us, empower us to be the holy, separated children of the living God. And save lost souls, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. We'll close just singing one stanza, one verse rather, of number 336. You can stand with me as we sing number 336, singing just the first verse as we close the message here today. Out of my bondage, sorrow and night, Jesus I come, Jesus I come, into thy freedom, gladness and light, Jesus I come to thee. Out of my sickness, into thy health, out of my want, and into thy wealth, out of my sin, and into thyself, Jesus, I come to thee. Oh, Father, let it be so. Maybe some sinner will hear this message someday. And out of their sin and self, come to you. Bless your word. In Jesus' name we pray.